My name is Chaya Rep, and this is Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Beis. As we mentioned last time, the first 9 prakim of Divrei Hayomim Aleph deal with genealogy. Before we get to the perek itself, I wanted to mention 2 important points about the genealogies of Divrei Hayomim. The first point is as follows. Ezra derived the information in these genealogy tables from earlier secular sources. This explains why, as we'll soon see, there are many issues with these tables, including omissions like skip generations or inconsistencies both within the Sefer itself and with other Svarim. Malbim explains as follows, Klal zeh yabietzcha b'chol ha-sefer. There's a major principle in this book. She'ezra hatik sifro mi-sefer ha-yichus ha-gadol. She'shem hoyu nimtzeim yichusei kol mishpacha v'sriga ha-vanafa mi-rosh ad-sof. Ezra copied information from a great genealogical record that contained the genealogy of every family and all its branches from beginning to end. Malbim goes on, Ezra lo hetik rak hatzarich v'rak anashim mesuyamim. Ezra copied only what was necessary for his purposes and omitted what was not. So that's one reason there are omissions. Rashi also tells us later, Gimel Svarim Matza Ezra, V'chalachad v'achad mena yachas, U'masha Matza Kasav, U'masha lo Matza lo Kasav. Rashi tells us that Ezra found 3 books of genealogy, and what he found, he wrote, and what he didn't find, he didn't write. In other words, another reason there are omissions is that Ezra relied on earlier sources which were available to him, and sometimes they were incomplete. Rashi also says that if Ezra had an odd number of sources, he went with the majority. And if he had an even number of sources available to him, a tie, he sometimes quoted both opinions, which explains why sometimes we find contradictions within the Sefer itself. Finally, Radak says, based on a pasuk in Perek Dalid, on the words V'hadvarim atikim, he says that information came b'kabbalah u'b'mesorah. In other words, some of the information that Ezra had was based on oral traditions, ancient traditions that had come down to him. So the first important point about the genealogies in Divrei Hayamim is that since Ezra drew his information from earlier secular sources, it shouldn't be surprising that we find places where they are incomplete or inconsistent. The second important point about these genealogy tables is that even though their sources were secular, they are no less holy than the rest of Tanakh. A commentary that is attributed to a student of Rav Sadia Gaon, Art Scroll calls him the anonymous commentator, we'll call him the Talmud of Rasag. He says the following, it's a warning. V'tein da'atcha ahadvarim ha'elu, v'al tazuach da'atcha l'krosan k'kore b'igeres u'b'mekra'os acherim. Ki parshios halalu hamedubokos in parshios sefer ha-yashar, chumash ha-pikudim u-mishnah Torah. He says, pay attention to these things. Don't lose your mind to read them like an ordinary document. Because these sections are bound up with Bereishis, Bamidbar, and Devarim. In other words, once they have been included as part of Tanakh, they have the status of Kisvei HaKodesh, of Holy Scripture. How do they attain their holiness? Even though they were not originally written with divine inspiration, Ezra chose what to include in the Sefer and what not to include and how to include it in a deliberate way with an eye to both the overt and hidden meanings that he intended to communicate. In fact, the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba says, Lo nitan divrei hayamim ela lidaresh. This book of divrei hayamim is meant to be interpreted homiletically. Quoting Art Scroll, Ezra was not haphazard. His inconsistencies are intentional and inserted as clues to stimulate our inquiries and lead us to the mysteries that are well concealed, but not impenetrably so, beneath the surface. End quote. The Gemara in Psachim Samach Beis tells us about a book called the Sefer Yochsen, and Rashi and others say that this was a book of Medrash, of homiletical interpretations associated with Divrei Hayamim, and that it was very complex. The Gemara tells the following interesting story. I'll read it in English. Rabbi Simlai said to another rabbi, teach me the book of genealogies, the Sefer Yochsin, in 3 months. Rabbi Yochanan took a clod of dirt, threw it at him, and said, Bruria, the wife of Rami Meir, was so sharp and had such a good memory that she learned 300 halachot, 300 laws, in 1 day from 300 sages, and nonetheless she did not fulfill her responsibility to properly learn the Sefer Yochsin in 3 years, because it was especially long and difficult. And you say I should teach it to you in 3 months? After this inappropriate request, I'm not inclined to teach you at all. The Gemara further says that the Sefer HaYuchsin has been lost. The Gemara says, Miyom shenigna Sefer Yuchsin, tashash kochan shel chachamim v'cha'a ma'ara einihem. From the day the Sefer Yuchsin was lost, the strength of the sages has been weakened and the light of their eyes has been dimmed from the content that was lost. What that content was, we do not know. But fortunately, there is plenty that has been darshaned, that has been interpreted, and that is available to us. And with that, we continue on to Perek Beis. First, the sons of Yaakov are listed, and then the Perek quickly narrows in on Yehuda's family, which will be the topic of the next 3 Prakim. Yehuda had 2 sons with his wife Tamar, twins called Peretz and Zerach. First, the Perek lists Zerach's descendants, and we get to Achar. Who is Achar? Achar is the same person as Achan. Sometimes Nun and Resh can be interchangeable. He's called Achar from the words Ocher Yisrael. He messed up Israel because he was the one who took the booty from after the battle with Jericho, from Jericho, and subjected everybody to collective punishment. After the sons of Zerach, we move on to the sons of Chetzron. Chetzron is a son of Peretz. Remember, Peretz being the other son of Yehuda. So we go on to the sons of Chetzron. Chetzron is a grandson of Yehuda. Those sons continue straight through to the sons of Yishai. Yishai's sons are listed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then we get to David, Hashvi, David the 7th. So David is listed as the 7th son of Yishai. This is interesting because if you look at Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel goes to Yishai's house to find the next king, and then one by one Yishai presents Shivas Banav, his 7 sons, to Shmuel, and Shmuel says, no, it's none of these. And then finally Shmuel says, is there maybe another one? And Yishai says, oh yeah, actually there's one more, he's out with the sheep. According to that count, what number is David? 7 sons of Yishai have already passed in front of Shmuel. According to the count in Shmuel, David is the 8th. In fact, in a later parak of Divrei Hayamim, Yishai is described, and it says, V'lo shmoneh vanim, he had 8 sons. There we also see that the missing son was Elihu. So why is Elihu missing from this list, and why is David described as the 7th, and 7 sons are listed when there were really 8? The Parash attributed to Rashi says, Elihu is omitted, atam matzah hamargolit, lefichach lomana hashmini Elihu. Once the pearl has been found, in other words, once we get to David, who is who we were looking for, there's no reason to go on and list the 8th, and that's why Elihu is not listed. So there are 8, and Elihu is the 8th. But wasn't David the youngest one? Yishai tells Shmuel, Od Sha'ar HaKatan, yeah, there's one more, the small one, he's outside. Malbim explains that Katan doesn't mean the youngest, it means he was the smallest in status with respect to his brothers, and that's, of course, pretty evident from the story in Sefer Shmuel. So we've explained this 7-8 inconsistency, but why is David's rank presented differently, 7th, 8th, in the different Svarim? The Medrash in Vayikra tells us, Kol Hashvi'in Chavivin Le'olam. All 7ths are favored in the world. The 7th day of the week is Shabbos, the 7th year of the cycle is Shemitah. So it makes sense that since our sefer is highlighting the grandeur of David HaMelech and the grandeur of the Davidic dynasty, it makes sense that David is listed as the seventh because he's the most favorite. The remainder of the Perek deals, for the most part, with the genealogies of Kalev, and as we'll see, we're not quite sure how many Kalevs we're dealing with. Yehuda's son Peretz had Chetzron, and Chetzron had three sons. One, Ram, who's the ancestor of David HaMelech. Two, Kaluvi, also called Kalev. And three, Yerachmiel. The Gemara in Sota, Yud Aleph, says that Kalev, the son of Chetzron, is Kalev, the son of Yefunah. Kalev, the son of Yefunah, was one of the spies sent by Moshe, and along with Yehoshua, he didn't participate in the disparaging report about the lands of Israel. Why is he called the son of Yefunah if he's the son of Chetzron? The Gemara explains Yefunah because pana me'atzas meraglim. From the word pana, because he turns away from the ideas of the spies, he stood apart from them in praising the land of Israel. Kalev married Ephras, who Chazal equate with Miriam, the sister of Moshe. Miriam is called Ephras from the word pri, for fruit, since she was a midwife in Egypt and helped the Jewish woman be more fruitful. Kalev and Ephras had Hor, who had Uri, the father of Bezalel, who goes on to build the Mishkan, the tabernacle. The remainder of the Perek deals with the sons of Yerachmiel, Chetzron's third listed son, and then resumes with the genealogy of Kalev. Many Mefarshim, including Radak and Malbim, point out that Kalev, the son of Chetzron, mentioned at the beginning of our perek, cannot be Kalev, the son of Yefunah, who is one of Moshe's spies. Radak explains, Chetzron is listed in Sefer Bereishis as one of the Yordei Mitzrayim, one of the 70 people who descended into Egypt. The Psukim tell us that Kalev at the time of the incident of the spies was 40 years old. So Chetzron goes down to Egypt. Let's say he was 0 years old at the time. There are 210 years of exile, and the spies were sent in the second year after the Exodus. So now Chetzron is 212. During that same year, the Chumash tells us that his son Kalev is 40 when the spies are sent. This would mean that Chetzron had Kalev when he was 212 minus 40 equals 172 years old. You would think that we would have heard about that big miracle. But that's not the biggest problem. The bigger issue is that Pasuk Chaf Aleph tells us that after the birth of Kalev, Chetzron married another wife, and at that point, Vehu ben Shishim Shana. At that point, after the birth of Kalev, when he married this other wife, he was 60 years old. So he clearly couldn't have been 172 when he gave birth to Kalev. This leads some of Farshim to assume that there are two different Kalevs in our Perek, Kalev the son of Yefunah and Kalev the son of Chetzron. How then do you reconcile the words of Chazal with the Pshat? Malbim has the following approach. Heads up, it's a little complex. According to Malbim, there are two genealogies of Kalev in our Perek. The first one is Kalev ben Yefunah, who is not actually a son of Chetzron, he is a descendant of Chetzron, and he's called Ben Chetzron because it's not unusual to describe an indirect descendant as a son. The second Kalev in our Perek is the son of Chetzron. That Kalev is identified as Achir Yerachmiel, the brother of Yerachmiel, because this Kalev is actually a son of Chetzron and a brother of Yerachmiel. Remember, Chetzron had three sons. Two of those were Kalev and Yerachmiel. One more note. Within the genealogy of the second Kalev, we are told that Kalev had a daughter named Achsa. We know that in the book of Yehoshua, Kalev ben Yefunah offers his daughter Achsa to whoever successfully captures the city of Kiryat Sefer. Malbim explains that the Perek reverts back to Kalev ben Yefunah, or that indeed both Kalevs had a daughter by that name. While Malbim works to reconcile the text with the Medrash, consistent with Malbim's general approach to Tanakh, other Mefarshim say that the Pshat and the Drash run on two parallel tracks, each significant and not necessarily reconcilable. It's at times like these that we remember Chazal's emphasis on the homiletical interpretation of the Sefer and the lost Sefer Yochsen. This shir is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.